tuned up and rolling. It's the Rosie on the House Arizona Hour, driven by Sanderson Board.
Time for our true or false trivia. This is for our weekly Arizona State Park Pass giveaway. Good for any of Arizona's 35 state parks, including Pool Hollow Lake. It's a bit past Payson, but if you're looking for a nice lake to spend a little time fishing and camping and not have to worry about being very remote, Pool Hollow is a great one. It's right in the town of Sholo, and so you've got all the amenities of a town, and you've got the lake right there. So true or false, during the early years of Payson Rodeo, the world's oldest continuous rodeo, you know, the rodeo events today aren't what they were over 100 years ago.
They've tended to more politically correct.
Was there an event called chicken pulling? True or false? Text the answer to 411-923, and we'll pick a random right winner at the end of this programming segment. Was there a rodeo event called chicken pulling? Another interesting thing about the area around Payson, Strawberry Pine, great little community just a few miles up the road from Payson. There was a, you were talking during the break about it being a four-hour dirt road to Payson. You know, what do you think it was like getting to Strawberry in the 1800s?
How about that?
When they built the schoolhouse, the teacher hoarded just about everything she could find just to have ample supplies, and chalk started disappearing one day. And then all of a sudden her gold watch went missing. So all the kids were interrogated and no one confessed.
This is 1880s?
86.
Okay.
1886.
So and there's a thief in the house.
A thief in the house that wasn't found till 80 years later when they were renovating the schoolhouse to save it. A pack rat's nest was discovered in the attic with chalk and a gold watch.
And a gold watch. The little schoolhouse at Strawberry, oldest schoolhouse in Arizona. So that's a beautiful little drive. We took the grandchildren up to Tonto Natural Bridge just last weekend, or on Monday, and the part of the viewing structure has been closed off. So now the only way to get down to see the bridge, you actually do some rock scrambling to get you down into the Pine Creek Valley. But once you're down there, you've got several 150 yards of just boulder scrambling to get over to where you can see the
natural bridge.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think I've ever been there. I did see another one, though, this week.
Have. I've got pictures
Angel.
Of you.
Okay.
But it's a long time ago.
We saw Angel Window this week, though.
On the north rim?
Oh, yeah. We didn't have to scramble, though.
Yeah.
You got to drive. And then it's about a quarter mile walk, but rock scrambling.
And y'all were up camping the north rim. And we're here talking with Amy Burnett from Arizona Game and Fish about watchable wildlife. Your kids got to see the bison herd for the first time.
Saw buffalo.
How about that?
That's amazing.
And a lot of deer.
Yeah?
A lot of deer. You drive the meadow at night, and, I mean, every 100, 200 yards, there was another little cluster of deer.
Well, I don't want to let out very many secrets, but I can tell you what. The elk are back at Apache Sitgreaves. The Wall of Fire kind of pushed them into New Mexico. But the last weekend we were there, there was elk everywhere.
Nice. Well, don't worry. They will be back because elk love nothing better than brand new grass. And guess what we're going to get? Once the monsoon hits and we start getting grass again, those elk will all come back into those old stomping grounds. So don't you worry.
Now, we're talking about watchable wildlife, and the picture that we've posted on Facebook about a newborn elk Jennifer and I came upon just last week in a hike. Talk a little bit about encountering wildlife.
I'm so glad you asked because, you know, you see an elk all by itself and you think, I need to rescue this. You know, where's mom? You don't see mom anywhere around. Well, trust me, mom is there watching somewhere in the distance. And she's just waiting for you to leave so she can come back. And she might leave that baby there all day, you know, hiding. And that's what they do. So if you see wildlife, please, please leave it alone. If you have any questions at all, feel free to call Game and Fish. Feel free to call a wildlife rehab center and just say, you know what, this doesn't seem quite right. And we can talk you through it because a lot of times people will pick up an animal and, you know, it's just really not great for it's not right for the animal. It's not good for you. You know, we had one person who was a good Samaritan who picked up a skunk, a baby skunk that they found abandoned, and they brought it to a rehab center. Well, 3 days later, that skunk ended up having rabies. So baby skunk that didn't exhibit any weird symptom at all, and the person who picked it, the person who handled it had to go undergo rabies shots. So when you see wildlife, you know, leave it alone. The mom's coming back, you know, or if you think that it's been abandoned, you know, give a call and talk to someone who knows and can walk you through whether or not it really needs to be saved. And in most cases, you're going to just say, you know what, leave it there. It's the best for the animal.
As we were walking through this huge little Senegal open grassland park area, just hundreds and hundreds of acres, treeless, just kind of out there in the eager Springerville sunrise ski area. The dog went on point. We went over. We realized it was a baby elk, and we just started looking around, like, well,
where's mom, know, right?
Where's mom? And just over the horizon, you could see about 40 elk.
That's
heads
great.
And 80 elk ears, and they were all just out of the line of sight looking down on us. It really was. I wish we would have had a good enough camera. We could have got a picture of that because it was pretty funny. But as Jennifer and I vacated the area, that whole herd of 50 elk just came in on that little calf and picked them up. And I mean, that calf never moved.
No, I mean, that's what mom's like. You don't move. And then they just stay there. It's amazing. They know to just stay, and mom will come back and pick them up later. It's the best protection from predators. And if you hang out and watch it and looking at them and taking pictures and drawing attention, you might actually attract a predator to that area who's been watching you. So it's just always a good idea. Stay your distance from wild animals. Take pictures from far away and leave them there. Enjoy.
Absolutely.
Speaking of predators watching, that reminded me of Marvin, who was watching a bear. So that bear stalking something and realized it was stalking him.
Yeah.
I need to get out of here.
Yeah.
You know, we're talking about Payson today, and you know, people of Payson know that there are a lot of bears in Payson, healthy population of bears, and those who live there permanently know you don't feed the bears. But people coming into the area, maybe you want to rent a cabin for the weekend. Do not leave your garbage outside in Payson until you absolutely have to put it out, until that morning, because bears are smart animals, and they learn that garbage is a great way to get high calorie food really easily, and those bears get into trouble. And you know, we always say a fed bear is a dead bear.
Yeah.
And it's true. These bears get into the bad habits, they get into trouble, they need to be removed, and it doesn't go well for the bears or for people. And of course, you don't want to pick up that garbage, right? But it's even worse for the bears. So if you're up in that country, you know, pass it on. Please don't feed the bears on purpose or by accident. Just keep your garbage secured, and please don't put out bird feeders for the bears.
And how about the bears in East Mesa?
Oh, yes. Every once in a while, we'll get a bear. Yeah. We had that Christmas bear.
Coming off
that?
Of the Four Peaks
coming
area.
Down from the Four Peaks.
Man.
It's amazing. You know, in this time of year, bears are coming out because they're looking for new territory. So mom's kicked them out. It's about time for her to go and make some new cubs. And so the young bears get kicked out. They have to find their own way in the world, and sometimes they're looking for new places. They come down in the valley, and then like, whoops, I need to get back up there. And so most of them just wander back up by themselves, but every once in a while they will come into urban areas. And just give us a call if you do have a bear sighting.
This might be a little bit out of your expertise at Game and Fish, but because I'm so active with German Shorthair pointers.
Sure.
Out in the wild, and we spent a lot of time over by Hannigan Meadow, Alpine, Unit 1, Unit 27, Apache Sitgreaves. I've tracked the success of the WOLF program.
Oh, yes.
Now they tell me somebody wants to bring back the grizzly.
That's not going to happen in our lifetime.
It's okay.
You know, something, you know, people always like to talk about that, but yeah, that we're not going to bring the grizzly bear back anytime soon. We just don't have the space for them. They just need such a huge territory. But we have brought back the bighorn sheep into areas that they were previously historically, and that's going really well in that bighorn and the black-footed ferret as well. So
and our elk
and
are originally from Yellowstone.
Yes, right? And we've been so successful with the elk that we've actually shipped some to West Virginia.
Y'all did do that.
We did. So there you go. I mean, that's really testament to what Game and Fish has been doing managing wildlife. We don't receive any tax dollars. A lot of people don't know that. We get most of our funds from you're buying your hunting or fishing license. So I know people who don't even hunt, and they buy their license to support Game and Fish.
You know, we're talking about Payson on 260. There's that electronic elk crossing.
Yes.
Does that work? Because every time I pass by it, there's no elk. No. Everybody's
isn't that waiting. Amazing that yeah. the elk say, okay, I see the light. Now it's time to cross. They wait. No, I'm just teasing.
The elk crosswalk.
I got to be a part of a teacher workshop that Eric Proctor put on about the elk. And we stood there, and we all stood on the little area where the sensor, and made the signs go off. And you should have seen people slow down and look.
Yeah.
And then they saw like 20 people stand on the side, and they were like, oh, really? They were so disappointed. They're like, oh, I see. It's flashing. The elk are there. And it was just a bunch of teachers and educators and Game and Fish staff standing there watching and learning how the whole situation
works. That is a major elk traffic lane. And in fact, the man that Romy mentioned earlier, Marvin totaled a Ford Ranger striking an elk at night right there before the crosswalk was installed.
Oh, man.
Yeah, we were behind another vehicle that hit an elk. And, I mean,
that's a big
the
impact.
Truck, and, you know, unfortunately, it didn't go well for the elk.
I was going to say, well, I bet the elk was, he might have been okay. You never know.
No, it took off both its back legs. And, it was, and you know, it was funny because the person driving had every opportunity to stop because it was a whole trail of them going. I was like, did you not see the eight that went in front of it?
Right. And most people think, well, you know, they're elk everywhere. They could be anywhere. But we do have fencing that actually funnels them to certain areas. So they're more likely to cross at certain areas that are safer. So when you do see those elk crossing signs, we're not kidding about that. We're serious.
Yeah.
Like, these are places where there's a break in the fence, literally, they're going to cross there if they're going to cross.
Yeah. So. Heavy elk are very habitual. And they'll establish a very well-traveled lane to and from their bedding and feeding areas. And if you can identify those heavily traveled lanes, that's where you isolate them and channel them just a little bit for their safety and the safety of the motorists.
Absolutely. And we have some underpasses as well that we've actually created in conjunction with ADOT, so where they can go underneath the highway so that they can cross safely. And there's some really cool pictures of them and video of them crossing at night underneath the underpasses.
And then on the way to Vegas, y'all have built overpasses.
Overpasses on the way to Vegas for the sheep. Yes.
For the game. Yeah.
It's so cool. Yeah. So there's things that we can do to help wildlife for sure. And so we work in partnership with, you know, Tonto National Forest and ADOT and all these different partners that we have to conserve wildlife, and it is working.
Arizona Game and Fish managing over 800 species right here in the state of Arizona.
Absolutely.
That's unbelievable. That's awesome.
And we should invite listeners to share their most unusual wildlife sighting story. Mine, I'm walking along Middle Mountain and I hear a sound I've never heard before. I'm like, I got to go check this out. So I gradually start moving towards it. And I realize it's above me. So I'm looking in the trees. I'm looking in the trees. What would you ever expect to find porcupines in trees over your head? Two porcupines in an aspen tree. Just, I had never seen porcupine in Arizona before. And everyone talks about, there was an old hunter. He's like, my biggest fear walking around at night is stepping on a porcupine.
Ooh.
And, you know, you always see a porcupine on the ground. They were in the tree.
Oh,
that's
man.
A lucky sighting. Most people don't get to see a porcupine. We had one that actually found its way. It got swept away in a flash flood down into a canal and ended up in the middle of Phoenix. And we had to I actually got to bring it back to a safer area. It was a really cute little thing. It was a baby one. So it was just, and people were like, it's way out of the way, you know, it's not supposed to be here. Well, we do have them here in the valley.
So if you've got an interesting wildlife sighting, share it with us at 411-923 or send it in at info@rosieonthehouse.com. The answer to today's trivia question is true. There used to be an event called chicken pulling at the Payson Rodeo. The poor chicken was buried up to its neck and the rider on horseback would travel by as fast as it could while grabbing the chicken out of the dirt.